Morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father in heaven. Amen. Today I want to tell you guys a story. I know, story time. Did everybody? I'm not going to make you get down, you know, when in the ECE when they do story time, they get down on the carpet. Y'all want to get down on the carpet and sit? Or are you a little more comfortable? Okay, we've got a couple of nods, yes, but most of us want to sit in our cushion pew. That's okay. We'll sit in our cushion pew. Today we're going to do something a little different. Our sermon's going to be kind of video-driven. Pictures tell us a story in a way that words kind of goes beyond that. And I will ask your forgiveness if it's not the greatest presentation in the world. I'm not the best at that kind of stuff. And frankly, I was up dealing with pictures, sorting through last night until after 1 o'clock trying to get this together. I was hoping to have enough to put together for the sermon. And as I sorted through the hundreds of pictures that were sent to me when I put out a call out to just a few people for the efforts that we'd had here. So forgive me if it has some stops and starts, but we'll get through it. Let's go ahead and let's go to that first picture. Friday, August 25th, 2017. This is what we saw on the news, right? We saw this image, and this image did what to our hearts? It drew it up, made us scared. We got fear. Because not only were we not looking at just a tropical depression or a tropical storm that it had been, and then all of a sudden it was upgraded to a hurricane, a class one hurricane, and then all of a sudden it went to a class two hurricane. And then the fear gripped a lot of us when it got to a class three hurricane. Let's go to the next slide. But then by the time it hit landfall, it looked like this. And it was a class four hurricane, something we're not used to, something we're not prepared for, something that did a lot of damage. But it gripped us with fear. It immobilized us. We really weren't sure how to handle it or what to do. But that kind of begins our story. Let's go to the next slide. We saw what it looked like from the air, but this is what it looked like in Houston on the ground by Saturday, by Sunday, by Monday. Let's go ahead and flip through some of these. That's downtown. That is not too far away from here. The effects of the water coming and under, going under the road, just the flooding. Let's go to the next. This was, I want to say, Monday afternoon. I pulled this one off the ABC Houston station website. Let's go to the next site. This is just right down the road here. Let's go to the next one. This is an aerial view of one of the neighborhoods just to the south of us. Let's go to the next one. That's near where my wife works. Go to the next one. This one is kind of where the story gets personal. Lawrence, do you recognize that? Do you recognize that neighborhood? Yeah. That's actually right out in front of my house. That was what it looked like. I want to say, was it Monday? Was that Monday evening? We took this? Monday evening, the water's coming up. Tuesday, it's getting really bad. We got really scared. We didn't know what to do. We made a scramble Tuesday because everybody was going door to door going, the water's coming in from multiple sides on the neighborhood. We were obviously trapped. We couldn't get in or out. And so everybody was gathering everything up, putting it as high as we could. If you had an upstairs, you were taking stuff upstairs. Anything that was loose out in the yard or whatever, people were getting and securing so it wouldn't clog the storm drains. And everybody was kind of joining in together. That's kind of the beginning of our story. Let's go to the next one. The story, though, begins to get a little more personal, and we get a lot more stories. We hear the stories on the news because at this point, most of us are still trapped inside. And so we're getting our stories either on the news or how did most of us get our stories during the storm? Social media, right? Yeah. Whether it be Facebook or Twitter or I saw a lot of pictures via Instagram, things like this. So we got a few stories like this. We saw people being rescued from their homes, not just in the big boats, but in kayaks and canoes and rafts. We saw people being carried out of their homes. We saw all kinds of stories on the news, and frankly, there were hundreds and hundreds of pictures like this to choose from. But we had a few. And while that's something out there, we all had personal stories, either stories that affected us or affected those close to us. And so these pictures are all taken either by Emmanuel people or by me or by friends. This was day one of the cleanup for me. We were pulling out flooring. This was the beginning of the first pile outside of this house. That pile, by the time we finished, was about three times that size and was one of three piles just for that house. You see my truck there in the background. And Lawrence can tell you because he was there helping. Jacob was there on one of the days, and we were pulling this stuff out. And it's nasty work. It's kind of stinky, but you get to relate to people. Let's go to the next slide. As we go inside, this is a different house. We've got all the belongings pulled into the centers of the rooms after the floors have been pulled. We're pulling drywall. And is this just a sterile thing? No, it's not. It's dirty. It's dirty physically, but how else is it hard? How else is it dirty? It's hard emotionally, right? These pictures can be hard to watch. How many people cried during the hurricane, cried during the relief effort? Quite a few. So we go. This picture, while it may not look big and glorious, I put it on there because it's drywall and it's wallpaper. And as we were pulling this up, as we were using the big dustpan to put all the stuff in there, I'm listening to this woman tell me, as we're cleaning up the house of her 78-year-old mother, and I'm listening to this woman tell me that that wallpaper she still remembers from her third birthday. This wallpaper that we're scraping up off the floor. It's a personal story. At this point, it's not just social media. It's not just on the news. It's personal. It hurts. And we're getting all this stuff, and this lady's in tears. It's hard. That's more stuff that we pulled out of another house. Actually, that's that first pile, but later. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. Again, more drywall. And I think I know the next one coming up. Okay, yeah. This was this was in another house. We're pulling stuff into the save pile versus the get rid of pile. That's the get rid of pile out there. The save pile was over to the side, and it was only about 15 feet wide. So it's pretty hard. But that's not the whole story. It's not just destruction. It's not just being torn apart. It's not just the mud and the muck. It's more than that. What's this look like? Well, it's cleanup effort, but what do the faces look like of these people? They're happy. They're smiling. They're working together. And the thing is some of these folks are family members, but some of these folks have never met before that day. These folks are total strangers that had come from a neighboring church to help. So we actually had groups from about three different churches helping at this one house. And at this point, we're stopped for lunch. And we're eating a lunch that some passersby had come by and were stopping and giving care package, prepackaged lunches to all the workers in the neighborhood. We weren't expecting it. We were going to try to go out and find pizza or something. And then right as we were calling a stop for it, these cars pulled up and unloaded these boxes with bags of sandwiches and things like that for us. It's pretty amazing. And you see the faces on these people? Do they look sad? No, they're smiling because they're working together and they're helping one another. Let's go to the next. Yeah, this is Victor. I'm looking out and Miss Winnie's laughing. Victor is a guy who showed up here at the church. He was dislocated from the hurricane. He was flooded out down in Friendswood. And so he was stuck in the area. He was staying with a relative, and he had his daughters with him here in the Heights. And he was just looking for a way to help. So he shows up, what is it, Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that, and says, hey, I found you guys online. Can I help? And so for a couple of days, he and his kids come up, and they sort clothes, and they move stuff around, and they do all this. And then I say, well, hey, would you be willing to come with me and help work on some houses? And he said, that'd be great. And so does Victor look depressed? Even though he can't get home, he can't get his daughters home, he can't get to his business. He was hoping to be able to get to his business today. He had a job lined up. He's in the oil field. He had a giant job lined up for this morning. But he still didn't know if he could get into his business. But he looks happy, though, right? In spite of that all. Why? Because he's helping. Because he's reaching out with others. And then you recognize these two guys? Yeah. And the thing is, Lawrence, were you smiling at the earlier in the day? No. Because we don't like getting dirty. We don't like the mud and the muck. But he's smiling here. Yeah, it was a very emotional week. It was a very emotional time. Because we got to help one another, though. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. And the thing is these are pictures that either I've taken or people with me are taking or were sent to me. But it's all connected here with Emmanuel. And that's where it gets from personal to Emmanuel's story. We get more pictures. You recognize this room? Yeah, that's the parish hall. That's Merchant Hall. It's full of stuff. And the thing has anybody been over to Merchant Hall this morning? Is Merchant Hall good and ready for Bible class? Is it nice and orderly and neat? What's Merchant Hall full of? Clothes and dry goods and things like that, stuff like this. But the thing is, you know, you see this picture of all this stuff? The stuff in Merchant Hall, none of it's that stuff. You know why? Because all the stuff that's here in this picture, you know where it is? It's out there. It's already been distributed. Let's go to the next slide, I think. Because what is it about every, was it once a day or a little more than that or so, Miss Winnie, that one of these went out? That we packed everything up and sent it out. Plus, we had some people come in here, and yesterday a number of you guys came up, and we had people come in and basically shop, you know, who needed the help and directly get that aid. But we still got tons of stuff, and we're going to have more stuff coming in. But this is what Emmanuel's been doing. This is what you guys have been doing. This is how you guys have been helping. This is how you guys have been taking up your cross. Let's go to the next one. This table, I love this picture because you see the labels on those. You can't read the labels, but instead of the tables being saying baby blankets or dry goods or whatever, those tables have people's names on them because what was it, Friday or Thursday? I can't even remember. All the days have run together, whatever day it was. We put together, we sorted a whole bunch of stuff. We got a list of tables and we broke things down and we made these big care packages to take out to individual houses, to individual families, according to their specific needs. Some of those families are here today. Some of them are still mucking it out, so to speak. But it was great going to deliver that, getting to you know, we'd had this stuff come in and getting it to put it into their hands. Let's go to the next slide. Again, that's another one of the tables once we were sorting it going to folks' houses. Let's go on. This is one of our ECE dads who was here just about every day plus they brought a bunch of goods and helped, and plus he went out and delivered and again kind of helped constantly. Let's go to the next one. Does anybody recognize this lady?
Winnie.
Yeah, Miss Winnie. Yeah. Our ECE was closed all week, and so technically our ECE staff didn't have to come in. How many days off did you have this week? Winnie's been here every single day of the whole storm, working on stuff. And some other people as well. I'm mentioning her because she's kind of coordinated stuff. But she's had people up here with her. She's been organizing and getting folks up here every single day, working on the aid effort. These are backpacks because a lot of the kids came and they were ready for school and they had all their school supplies, and all their school supplies are gone. So we set a goal of 50 backpacks, not just 50 backpacks, but 50 loaded backpacks, which is a pretty big deal. If you haven't shopped for school supplies lately, they're expensive. So we thought 50 was a pretty good goal. 50 was a pretty high goal. We passed 50 pretty quickly. What, we're somewhere between 70 and 80 right now? 82. So awesome. Wouldn't it be great if we hit 100? So the push was technically through yesterday, but, you know, that's an awesome thing. Let's go to the next slide. Again, this is volunteers. I believe this was Saturday, sorting stuff, getting ready for folks to come in and get according to their need. Let's go again. But that's actually still not the rest of the story. There's more to it. We've seen the fear. We've seen destruction. We've seen individuals helping in each other. We've seen as a congregation, as a community, helping each other. But there's more to it. The cross. Our gospel lesson for today. And the cool thing is I had a whole different sermon prepared on our gospel text. I preach on the assigned text for the week. But I had to talk about what I'd seen this week. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Jesus gives some really confusing advice here. He tells us we've got to give ourselves up to gain ourselves. Take up your cross and follow me. The idea is, if all we're about is ourselves, if all we're... What does the world say? Look out for who? For number one. Look out for ourselves. But Jesus says no. He says, give yourself up. He says, you look after your neighbor. I'll look after you. But I want to use you to look after others. And this is great. This is good advice, and it's necessary, because if all we do is concentrate on ourselves, we will never see the glory of Christ. We'll never see that. But there's a problem. Let's go to the next slide. These colors, you notice, are a little different than everything we've looked at. This is kind of a dark one. This is a somber one. The problem is even though sometimes we've got the best of intentions, even though we want to love Christ as deeply as we possibly can, even though we want to love our neighbor as much as we possibly can, we want to do everything we can, what gets in the way of that? Is that three-letter word we use in church? Sin. Not just the sin of the world, not just the sin that's gotten into creation, but the sin that's in here, the sin that's in me, the sin that's in you. We're broken. So while we try to take up our cross and follow Jesus, that effort gets broken. That effort gets messed up because we do get selfish. We do look inside. We look out for number one. We're broken. None of us can be Jesus. None of us can love our neighbor, and do good enough and fulfill the law good enough to make our way into heaven. Let's go to the next slide. But praise be to God, we don't have to. Jesus does it for us because he's the one who took up his cross. He lived, he died, he rose again for me and for you because we need it. And it's only out of response to that that we can take up our own crosses and love one another and not focus on ourselves, but share the love of Christ with each other. Let's see what the next slide is. This is kind of a collage of some of the pictures you saw before, some of the others. But this is kind of our full story, but it's based on Christ. There was one picture, and I couldn't find it last night as I was putting this slide together. But I wanted to. Of all the stories that I heard and all the people that I talked with, the people that I got to pray with, the people that I got to share God's word with, one sticks in my mind and my heart the most. Young man Giovanni, goes by Gio. And I'd actually met Gio out and about, met him at a friend's house one time for a barbecue, and then saw him when we were out cleaning houses up in Cyprus. And the course of the day, watching all these people work, watching these volunteers come from various churches to help out the houses, Gio comes to me as we're taking a break, and he said, I don't know God. I want to know about Jesus. How awesome is that? So in the midst of this destruction, through putting ourselves aside, through putting our own comforts aside, through donning the work gloves, we got the opportunity to share Christ with someone who didn't know it. Romans 8:28. God says he will work good through all things for those who trust in him. He doesn't say he's just going to work good through all things. I'm not going to get into a trite thing that says, no, everything goes for good. No. Destruction and death and all these things, they're evil. They're bad. They're part of the fall. But God says when you trust in him, when you follow him, he's going to work his will in it. You know, that conversation that I had with Gio, that opportunity, and I got to connect him with some people in a church right there just about a mile from his house. If that's the only good that comes from Hurricane Harvey, if the fact that Gio now gets to spend eternity in heaven with you and me and with Jesus rather than in condemnation, was Hurricane Harvey profitable? It was. I'd lose everything in a heartbeat for that opportunity. So God does work good through those who trust in him. When we take up our cross in the midst of the sins and the brokenness of this world, underlying that is his cross, holding us up, carrying us, and working his will in our lives and the lives of those around us. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all you've done, for delivering us, for guiding us, for guarding us, for giving us the opportunity to share your love, for giving us the opportunity to share our resources with those around us. Please, dear Lord, help us in the coming days, the coming weeks, the coming months, to share that love all the more, to share of the resources that you have given us so that we may also have opportunities to share your Son, Jesus Christ, with the lost. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask for you to send your Holy Spirit upon us, dear Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen.